If you'd like to keep your Bibles open as we come to God's word, let us ask his blessing upon it. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. But Lord, we know we are dependent upon you for understanding. So Lord, through your spirit, may you open our ears that we may hear, open our minds that we may be able to understand, and open our wills that we're able to put into practice what you'd have us hear today. In your name and for your glory. Amen. Now, I dare say trouble is something that we're all too familiar with. We can look back even over this last year and think what we've been through, the times that have caused us anxiety, caused us worry, caused us a measure of fear. And yes, over time, as we get older, we do develop ways that we use to cope with times like that, don't they? Some of those are really healthy things that we can do, you know, get alongside friends or family, even our church family. But while other ways we cope are not so healthy, are they? Can even be self-destructive activities that we might use to drown out some of that pain, physical pain, psychological pain, or even emotional pain. But those things that actually end up causing us harm. Do you know, the great thing about the Bible, it doesn't disguise the fact that we are human, that we do fear, we do worry, we do know times of anxiety. But the Bible doesn't just show us that we're like this. It wonderfully helps us. It just leaves us hanging, as it were, you know, thinking, great, you've told me that I'm fearful, then it's okay and it's normal. You tell me that it's okay to be anxious. What now? Well, what now? Well, we turn to Psalms like Psalm 46, where we discover that when we put Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his right place in our life, that in him we can find security in times of uncertainty. In Christ, we will find security in times of uncertainty. And we do live in times of uncertainty, don't we? You know, the climate change, we've seen those great ice sheets collapsing into the sea. The tsunami, do you remember the Japanese tsunami of a few years ago? How great those towns were just wiped out with a single wave. We know the effects of earthquakes. It just shatters buildings to dust, doesn't it? Volcanoes that just encase entire communities, and we see them no more. And of course, man's inhumanity to man through war, civil war. These are the things we have described in verses 2 to 3 of our psalm. I don't know about you, but when events outside my control start having an impact on my life, that brings a measure of fear and I get scared. I mean, in a way, we saw that for ourselves through the pandemic, didn't we? That unseen, invisible hunter stalking us. And many friends and family and the people around us seem to be dropping like flies, this invisible stalker. And we see it now in our financial crisis, don't we? With inflation rocketing, incomes plummeting. And people like you and me, it's totally out of our control, isn't it? There's nothing we can do about it other than try and get through it. Yet even in times like these, if we can take to heart what this psalm has for us, this psalm will enable us to resolutely say, we shall not fear, we shall not be moved, we shall be still and know that God is God. For the Lord of hosts, he is with us. The God of Jacob, he is our fortress. So we can find security in times of uncertainty, because in God we need not fear the tribulations of the world, because he is our refuge. Now, if you were around during the medieval period of Britain, I don't think any of us were, but if we were, it would have been very usual for villages to have this centre that was fortified. And so if there was an incoming or oncoming threat, they would ring a bell and the townsfolk would then go inside the defended area, inside the wall, and find protection. When we put Jesus in the centre of our life, we too can experience him as a refuge, a place to flee to, a place of protection, a place where we can even fight from. And if we are a Christian here this morning, then there is a very big possibility that we will increasingly face the tribulations of this world, the battles of the world that are around us. In a sense, one of the battles right now is that discovering or what determines our self-identity in terms of gender and sexuality. You know, even in the Disney film, Frozen, for those of you who've watched such a thing, there's a song in it that says, look within yourself to find the answer. Let it go. Let it go. Don't listen to those around you. Find the person you want to be and be the person you find inside. Society would say it is the one that determines what we are. So you look like this. You act like that. That means you are one of these. But in God, we have a better story. In Jesus, we can look to him for our identity, our self-worth and self-image. In Jesus, we find our purpose. After all, he created us. He created the world. He has a plan from its start to its end. In Jesus, we find our worth. At the cross, we find out just how much we are loved. And in Jesus, we find our dignity. We're not just dust, although we are dust in a way. We are made in the image of God, in his likeness. We're not just here by chance. So we find security in times of uncertainty because in Jesus, we need not fear. We shall not fear the tribulations of the world because God is our refuge, but Jesus is also our strength. Now, does anybody here remember the first day they had at school? Well, a few of you do remember your first day. I don't. I don't know if there's a reason for that, you know, the psychological removing of that memory. But as parents, or your parents, we got our kids ready, didn't we, for their first day of school. We bought them their school uniform and laid it out so they knew they had to put it on. We got the pens and the paper, the bag, the water bottle, the lunch box, and even made lunch. The strength that God provides us so that we need not fear the tribulations of the world is the strength that comes from him getting us ready for life that is to come. So, question to the floor, open to you. What has God given us to prepare us for life? Give me an idea. What has God given us to prepare us for everyday life? Jesus. Jesus, yep. Grace, the Holy Spirit,
prayer.
Love. Love, was that? Yeah. There's a problem when you've got only an ear that half works.
Other believers.
Yes, each other, definitely. Yeah. You've missed an obvious one.
The Bible.
Yes. Yeah, he has. God provides all that we need. The Holy Spirit, his word, grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, each other. And reading the Bible regularly. And don't just read it. You know, I can look on my phone and apparently I have looked at my Bible at 296 times this year. You know, once, well, you can clearly see I've missed some. I don't know how many days there are this year. 300 and something, is it? You know, but if I just look at it, it's meaningless, isn't it, really? We help to meditate on God's word. Think on it. Too, as we massage it in and praying through what we read, sharing it with some other people in our lives. Now, doing all those things doesn't mean that we won't fear. Imagine if we could do all that and we never experienced fear. Wouldn't it be great? But we are human and we do fear. But there's different types of fear, isn't there? Think about those exams. The fear that I had before an exam that I hadn't revised for is a different fear from the exam I had that I had revised for. And that's the difference in the fear here. The fear that we might have, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, we've massaged his word into every aspect of our lives, we're reading it, we're applying it, we're bouncing it off other people. Yes, we will still fear, but we are prepared and ready for whatever comes. We need not fear the tribulations of the world when we have been massaging God's word into our life, knowing his strength with us, his word guiding us, and his Holy Spirit prompting us. Do you know, I remember Laura and I, we once had a conversation. We do talk to each other, sorry, that's not one conversation. We had a conversation specifically about our boys. How do we feel if we lost one or two of them? And yes, we knew it would be a real devastating thing. But in a way, in talking it through, we knew if that did happen, the Lord would help us through. He would have prepared us already for whatever had come. And it made us thought, who owns our boys? Well, they are a gift from God, but in a way, they're on loan, aren't they? So we had to work that through. The Lord prepares us in our lives for every eventuality that we will face. And if I can widen the scope a bit, God is our strength, the one who bears us up when we've got a burden. You know, I need to put a picture on there. You know, somebody, if somebody's hurt, what do? You put your arm under their shoulder and help you along, isn't it? That is God's strength amongst us. He fits us for the work that he would have us do. And he does prepare us for times of suffering because he knows what's coming up. Keeping Jesus at the center of our lives means we need not fear the tribulations in life because he's our refuge, our strength, and an ever-present help. Now, 7 years ago, I started in our family business. And we were printers, and we quickly upgraded one of our machines to a professional production machine. None of us knew how to use it. The manual was quite literally this thick, and it was A4. And within days, this thing had conked to a halt. It got what's called a stop code fault, which means, unless you fix this, I'm not going to work. And because of sensors, it knew when you'd fixed it, and so it wasn't going to work until you had fixed it. So an engineer came in next day, and he literally did that classic, almost to turn it off and turn it back on. He opened one of what's called the process unit, pulled it out, pushed it back in, pulled it out, pushed it back in, closed it, and off it went. I felt stupid. But what he said wasn't stupid. What he said, here is my number, don't phone the helpline, because they've never used your machine. They don't know your machine. They don't have a clue. Phone me direct, and I'll talk you through. Now, how do you think I felt knowing that I had the phone number of the engineer if something would go wrong? Confident. And we got on using the machine. In actual fact, we never phoned them again. Jesus, in a way, is our life engineer, isn't he? He's the one on the end of the phone. The word we have in the ESV was an ever-present help. In a way, we can't get the fullness, all the colour of the Hebrew there. In a way, it means Jesus is ready to be found. He's ready to respond. You know, it's a picture of a cricketer, you know, waiting to catch the ball as it's being bowled or caught. He has been found 100% reliability. You know, trust was Trustpilot review. It'd be 5-star from every person who who's been helped by him. He's the one who'd be signed off as ready, fully qualified, fully competent. There is nothing that Jesus cannot handle for us. Get a picture of what it means to be an ever-present God? We need not fear the tribulations of this world because Jesus is our first responder. As the song goes, with Christ in the vessel, we'll smile at the... Oh, nobody knew that one then. With Christ in the vessel, we will smile at the... I won't sing that one then. With Christ in the vessel, we'll smile at the storm. I don't know whether we introduced that one. Well, when the world around us does seem a bit crazy and a bit out of control, we need not fear. We shall not fear because God is our refuge, our strength, and our help. And you notice in our Bibles, there's already a few, there is that Selah, Selah. In a sense, what it means is suck on that, people, as in think on it. Meditate on it. Suck on that, brothers and sisters. Well, actual fact, we don't know what that word means, but I like that meaning of that word. It means pause and think about it, we think. So in verses 1 to 3, we shall not fear the tribulations of the world. And in verses 4 to 7, we shall not be moved by the powers of the world. Now, as humans, we're pretty inventive, aren't we, of stopping things moving. Think for yourself all the ways you might have used to stop something that is moving and shouldn't be moving. You've got glue, tape, bricks, props, pegs, rope, hooks, zips, Velcro, anchors, even our foot. There's many ways that we use to stop things moving. But what will it be that will prevent us moving spiritually? Now, the answer to that, it helps to know what does it mean to be moved. Well, if you look at verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her, talking of his people, she shall not be moved. And to be moved means she shall not deviate. She shall not deviate from the truth of God. She shall not deviate from the trajectory or the path of eternal life. We shall not deviate from the truth of Christ nor the trajectory of eternal life. As Christians, we all know the power of this world around us. We experience it for ourselves. The pressure to change the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deviate from the truth. That lure to follow the ways of the world rather than the ways of Christ, to deviate from the path that would lead us to eternal life. That pressure to soften the teaching of Scripture when it seems to be, well, in societies, we don't like that. We're under pressure to change it. Did God, no, I imagine it's a bit like Genesis 3 when Satan came up to Eve and said, did God really say, we get that every day, don't we? Did God really say that he would send people to hell? Did God really say that you have to wait until you're married to have sex? Did God really say no to same-sex marriage? Is Jesus really the only way to meet God? And those questions like that are piling in, aren't they? What will stop the powers of the world causing us to deviate from the truth of Christ and the trajectory of eternal life? Well, in verses 4 to 7, thanks, John, it's the joy of the Lord. I've just listed them all here rather than going through all of them. The joy of the Lord, the presence of our God, the stabilizing influence of the Lord, the future hope that we have in God, and the authority of God. And let me just pick out a few of those. When we're tempted to be moved from the truth or from the path that leads to eternal life, let's remember the joy of the Lord. Now let's think about the Lord Jesus Christ for a moment. A question for you. What did Jesus do because of the hope, the joy that was set before him?
He was prepared to die on the cross.
He was prepared to die on the cross, yes. Jesus endured the cross. Why? Because the joy that was set before him, the joy of you and me being with him in eternity. Such is the love of our God. And as you're a Christian here, grasp how much you are loved. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly went to the cross because of the joy set before him. And if we're a Christian, remember, we are also called to endure, to take up, rather, our cross and follow Jesus. And that will look unique to each one of us. But we all here have that thing in our life that we shouldn't be doing, because sanctification, becoming more like Christ, there's always something that God will be working on. That one thing that we're not surrendering to him at the moment, is that better than the joy that there is to come? Is it worth more than the joy that it is to come? God will help us to focus. It's as we focus on the joy that there is in the Lord to come, he will help us to not deviate from the truth or the path of eternal life. When tempted to be moved, may we also remember the presence of God. God is in the midst of his people. Now, if you're at a home group this week, do you remember what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. And we as a group found question 8 a real challenge for us. The question in 8 was, in what ways do we lose sight of Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, in our day-to-day lives? Jesus is with us. And through his Spirit, he is within us. And that means he's right here, right now. And it's not just he's in this room. Through his Holy Spirit, he literally is with us who know him. Now, a little confession. Mildly embarrassing. Actually, it was amazingly embarrassing. Do you know, I once accidentally walked in on my parents while they were having sex. I don't know who was more embarrassed, me or them. And you know, as a kid, you don't quite know what's going on, so you're frozen to the spot, which made it even worse. I'm not going to get you to hold that picture in your mind for a moment, but in a way, with the Lord with us, what does that mean? It's not that he might just walk in on us when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. I'm not just talking about sex. Sorry, that's just one situation I related to. But the anythings in our life that we are doing that shouldn't be right, he is with us. We are doing it in his presence. There are many things in the world, the powers of the world, that will tempt us to deviate. Deviate from the truth, deviate from the path that we should walk. And similarly in verse 5, When that happens, we are to consider Jesus as our anchor. He is that stabilizing influence. If we're reading his word, praying to him, being with God's people, it will help us find stability in our life so that we aren't moved. And the hope that comes from knowing our Lord Jesus Christ is there at the dawn of every new day will also help us to stick firm to what we believe. It is hard resisting the world around us, but in remembering the joy of heaven, the presence of Jesus, the stabilizing influence of his word, the hope that we have in him makes a massive difference, as does submitting to the authority of God. I'm going to focus on that one for a moment. I wonder if you looked at verse 6, whether you see the contrast that there is here. The nations raise, the kingdom and kingdoms totter. He that is God utters his voice, and the earth melts. Now we know through human history the truth of the world raging, the wars that are going on now, the wars that have happened, and the kingdoms that have fallen and are falling. And war is a horrendous thing to go through, and many of us cannot really appreciate that. Yet contrast the authority of the world with the authority of God. Nations rage, and as a result, kingdoms fall. God simply speaks, and every power in the entire world melts. Now, picture, we've had a beautiful mist this morning, but imagine if the sun comes out and how that then just dries up the mist. That's a view that we've got in this here, how the Lord speaks, and like a mist that dissipates in the sun, so the earth world melts. That's every ruler, every kingdom, even to gravity will melt before him. So with that in mind, if you were to pick sides, would we be loyal to the world or the loyal to God? When tempted to deviate from the truth of Christ and the trajectory of eternal life, let us remember who's king. And God's authority is more than just over creation in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us, and that is the Lord God, the chief commander of the legions of heaven. He is the one who is with us. Now, I love the story of Elisha. And one of the stories that is told about Elisha in 2 Kings 6 is how his servant had gone to the edge of the city, as it were, stood on the wall and seen the king of Aram coming. He runs back to Elisha saying, "We're doomed, we're panicked, he's all there." And all Elisha says is, "Lord, show him, will you?" And the Lord opens his eyes, and his servant is able to see the host of heaven, the armies of God, the chariots, the riders of fire. Such is Almighty God, the King of hosts is on our side. Our Almighty Sovereign God is with us, and he is our fortress. And the connection with Jacob, I'm not going to focus on that particularly because we've been looking at Jacob, haven't we, of late. But that is amazing. How you might think, how is that a confident to us? Jacob, the deceiver, the one who kept getting it wrong. Well, it's for that very reason that it's a comfort to us. God had made a promise with Jacob to be his God, to make him into a great nation. Yet Jacob was just like you and me. And yet God did not lose faith with Jacob, did he? It was God who is drawing Jacob back to himself time and time again. No matter how many times Jacob screws up, God was with him. And if God is willing to make an eternal promise with a God like that, sorry, with a guy like that, how much more will he be faithful to the promise that he has made with us? So in times of uncertainty, we find security when we don't deviate from the truth of Christ, nor the trajectory, when we're tempted to deviate from the truth of Christ or the trajectory of eternal life. We focus on the joy of heaven, the presence of Jesus, the stabilizing influence of Jesus, the hope there is in Jesus, and the authority of God will help us not to be moved. Selah! Suck on that, brothers and sisters. I know time's flying, so let me be brief. Thanks, John. The next one. In times of uncertainty, we find security when we are still. When we behold the works of God and set apart God in our life as the God of our life. I wonder at times when we do go through that moment of uncertainty, it is because our God is too small. And we would do good to remember that our God, the God of the Bible, is the one who can lay waste to the earth. The God who can make wars cease. The God can bring someone to such an awesome wonder and amazement of him that they stand there in silence, a speechless wonder. The God is the one who will bring us victory. The God of Psalm 46 is this God. He is our God. We can find security in him in times of uncertainty. To know there is a being in authority over all things, that he has a plan, he has a purpose to all things, that we are here for a reason and not by chance. Someone who does not know what's going on in the world, and so, if we're in a point when we don't know what's going on in the world, do you know, it doesn't matter. To know that someone does know what is going on in the world means I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to micromanage everything because God sets the boundaries. So may we be still and know that God is God and find security in times of uncertainty. That measure of peace, that measure of joy in him, and so exalt him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we shall not fear. We shall not be moved, deviate from the truth of Christ and the trajectory of eternal life, as we think of the joy that there is in eternity, the work that you have done in our lives. And Father, when we are tempted, may we be still and know that you are God. Father, we thank you for who you are, the Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to always focus our hearts and our minds on you and be joyful in you, even in those times of hardship. Thank you that you are always with us. You have promised to never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we just give you praise in your name. Amen.